fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to talk again today and this whole week about this season of Advent. And so as we're journeying together in preparation for the celebration of Christmas, celebration not only of the Lord's first coming, but also anticipating and preparing for his second coming. It's so helpful for us to remember who we are and what time it is, you might say, in the world, where the church lives as a prophetic sign to the whole world. The church really has insight to the destiny of human history. She understands the times. She's able to read the signs of the times. And one of the fundamental understandings the church brings us through the revelation of Scripture, the teaching of the church, is we're living between the two comings of Jesus. This is the final stage, the final age of human history. Scripture talks about it as the last hour. And that's the final age because it's the age of the Messiah. It's the age of mercy, of God's plan, his redemptive plan to save the human race. And he brings it about through the incarnation of his son, Jesus Christ, who enters into the world he's created. And he becomes one of us. And he takes on human flesh, that human flesh that's fallen from glory with the rest of us, and he raises it to glory. And so Jesus' life, passion, death, and resurrection, ascension into heaven, is that entire work of God's plan of salvation worked out in the person of Jesus Christ, but continued in his church through the outpouring of the gift of the Spirit, who now lives in the world, a pilgrim church, who is a light to the nations, to the world, is a sign, is a prophetic message. Remember, confirmation, baptism and confirmation. We're baptized into Christ. And part of that is we're all priests, prophets, and kings. And the priestly role that the church has is to offer right praise and sacrifice to God, to acknowledge God for his greatness. That's why we have the Eucharist. We have so much of what the church does is lead the world to remember God, to know God, and to give praise and honor to God. So the priestly role of offering our entire lives, everything we have to God, is a living sacrifice, following in the footsteps of Jesus. The prophetic role is to be able to speak God's word, to witness it with our life, but also to proclaim it. And prophetic, because the church has a prophetic understanding of reality, the very thing we're talking about in this season of Advent, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, this time of mercy that exists in the world where God extends the love of the Messiah in the power of his Spirit. Remember, the word Messiah means anointed. He's the one that's anointed and filled with the Spirit of the Father and the Son, and he pours out that Holy Spirit into the world, and that gives birth to the church. And it's the Holy Spirit who guides and moves the church through this time of history, this last stage of human history, to bring the mercy and forgiveness of God to the entire world, because we know that that time is going to end. And when it's going to end when Jesus comes again in glory. We'll talk about that this week, in particular from the Catechism. When he returns, he will return to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end, and he will complete the work the Father sent him to do right from the start. It will be the completion, the final subduing of all the enemies of God, the drawing in, redeeming, and restoring all those who want to become part of the family of God. And Jesus will present the entire church to the Father, and God will be all in all, will be united to God. So the church takes us through this season, not only to ready us to celebrate the coming of our Lord the first time, but to remind us who we are, the prophetic, priestly, and really kingly role that we've been given. And we've been given that commission and anointing through the presence of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. The Holy Spirit empowers us to fulfill those commissionings, to share in Jesus' priesthood, Jesus' prophetic role, and Jesus' kingship. How do we express that kingship? Well, it starts really with inviting Christ into our own heart. St. Peter said, enthrone Jesus Christ in your heart. St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 14, Christ died and rose again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. So the kingdom of Christ begins in your life and mine when we enthrone Jesus Christ in our heart as Lord. That is when, in the seat of our decision, the core of our being, we've accepted the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he's come to rule, and we accept it one heart at a time. The kingdom of God is built one heart at a time here on earth. Human beings acknowledging Christ, enthroning him in their heart. And so that's where it begins, and I bring my life by God's grace through the help of the church, through the teaching of Scripture, the teaching of the catechism, the sacramental life of the church, living in communion with the church. I bring my life with all that help every day further and further under the lordship and the majesty of Jesus. So that enthronement is real. It works itself out, and I am conformed to the person of Jesus Christ. And then whatever responsibility I have in this world, if I'm married and I have a family, I bring that same spirit, messianic spirit, that same rule of Christ into my home, sharing the faith with my own children, beginning with my relationship with your wife and husband, praying together, inviting Christ to build a domestic church in and through you in your family. That's how the church brings the reign of God fundamentally on earth, and then extending it to the world around, to bring Christ's justice and peace into the world, to bring the mercy of God into the world. Today we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, this priestly, prophetic, kingly ministry that we're called to is a mission in the world. It's how we extend the kingdom of God, how we live in the kingdom of God, and how we extend the kingship of Christ into the world in this time of mercy. It's what it means when Jesus said, you're the light of the world. We're the light of the world because we understand the darkness that's in the world, and the answer to that darkness is the light which came in the person of Jesus Christ and has now been given to each one of us. And the light is not only the person of Christ, his life in us, but the new way of life that he wants to lead us into. That's consistent with God's plan and purpose. Today we have that beautiful reading from the book of Revelation about the woman clothed with the sun. Of course, it's being read today because of celebrating the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the story of Our Lady coming to Mexico, to Juan Diego and Tepeyac, and speaking to him and beginning really establishing a beachhead in North America, which was for the evangelization of the entire continent. The Lord sending his mother on mission. In so many ways, it's a reflection, a time to reflect on the role of Mary in the church and to see the intimate relationship she has with her son in the Holy Spirit, and she's for us a sign of the church. So as I read this today, the woman, you know, who's the woman? Bible scholars tell us it's really, you can understand it in three ways, because the book of Revelation often speaks symbolically on a number of different levels at the same time. First, the woman is faithful Israel, the daughter of Zion, those who've responded and followed the Messiah, who followed him, the people of Israel who were faithful to God all along and then received the Messiah. Second, it's Mary, the woman clothed with the sun, is Our Lady. The daughter of Zion, Israel, brings Christ into the world, the faithful of the people of Israel. Their mission was to bring the Messiah. Mary's part of that people of Israel, especially chosen, and through her comes the Messiah. And then the church, the woman finally is the church, who in this time in history bears in her womb, you'd say, bears within her heart the person of Jesus Christ that is meant to bring him to the entire world for the sake of the salvation of the world. So here's the passage. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Those 12 stars, some say, you know, the Old Testament reference to the 12 tribes of Israel. She's the true daughter of Zion. The people of Israel, the faithful people of Israel, is that true daughter of Zion, but so is Our Lady in a particular and unique way. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. The same thing happened with faithful Israel. The pain she endured as she's over the centuries, through her time in Egypt, through all that she endured, her time in the desert, to follow the Lord, and the Lord's leading them into, again, the promised land to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 diadems. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to the earth. It's an image of Satan and his warfare against the church, against the people of Israel, against the church, and then his attack and attempt to attack Our Lady as well. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth to devour her child when she gave birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule the nations with an iron rod. That's from Psalm 2, a reference that the Messiah is destined to rule and rule with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert where she had a place prepared by God. So then the dragon stood before the woman, just like the story of Herod and the massacre of the innocents and the attempt of Satan, of the devil, to destroy Christ and to prevent the Messiah from fulfilling his purpose. Satan's attack on the people of Israel and faithful Israel to stop them from being able to fulfill their prophetic purpose and their role in helping bring the Messiah to save the world. She fled into the desert. Israel spent all that time in the desert. God cared for Israel in that difficult and challenging time in the desert. Mary literally went into the desert. The church lives in the world as a kind of desert, time of a battlefield, like where Jesus himself went into the desert and was tempted by the devil to make war on Satan and his kingdom, to bring down his kingdom. And so the church has its pilgrimage here on earth in a fallen world, and God cares for us, as the passage describes. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven. It finishes here. Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed. That God has come. God's plan is unfolding. The enemy cannot stop the unfolding plan and purpose of God in the earth. And Mary has a special role to play in that, a unique role. She's a symbol for us. She's a sign. She's a living sign of the church itself. Because Mary was called by the Lord. She said yes to him. He covered her, overshadowed her with the power of his Holy Spirit. She carried Jesus literally, the Word of God, the Messiah, in her womb. She pondered God's plan and purpose. She was obedient and docile to the Lord's leading. She cooperated with God's plan. She said yes to it, accompanied Jesus. She gave birth to the Messiah into the world. That's what the church does. The church is in her bosom, has the person of Christ. Jesus is born into our hearts through baptism and confirmation, through his word. And we carry Christ into the world. Literally, we are called to give birth to Christ in the world. Not literally in the sense of Mary did, obviously, but to bring forth Jesus through the way we live, the new way of life we've been given and called to, and through the preaching of the gospel. Mary's the great sign. And she's with us, praying and interceding for us, and she's deeply engaged to this day in the mission of Jesus, which we see and remember on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, that extraordinary story of her bringing forth the Word of God, and it gave birth to massive millions of people converted. Let's cooperate with Our Lady. Let's walk with her as she guides us, the church, the mother of the church, into the mission that we've been given. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.